Make no mistake, Trump-backed Bernie Moreno was a MAGA mistake for black families in Ohio.
We're not going to replace racism in this country from decades ago with a new form of racism, which is what DEI is.
If Bernie Moreno was elected senator, he will support the MAGA playbook and implement the thinly disguised Racist Project 2025 agenda. That means ending diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that exist to correct the impacts of racism. MAGA extremists like Moreno believe programs that have helped our families are entitlement programs, but they have no problem giving their buddies a boost by passing more tax giveaways for rich folks like themselves. Black Americans like me have worked hard and persevered in fighting for a fair shot. We've come too far to let self-serving extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. That's why we must re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. He has fought for equal opportunity for black families and will continue to do so. Go to OhioVoterGuide.org and register by October 7th. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome. This is Fightful's SmackDown post show. I, of course, am not Kate. I am Phil Lindsay. And I, of course, am here with Alex Cardoza. What's going on with you?
What's up, man? I'm excited. Another show we get to do together. This is it needs to become a normal. I enjoyed the first time. So I was like, I was very happy to hear that we were going to jump on here again.
So I immediately chuckled watching this episode because last time we did a review together, we both had certain complaints about that episode, and it almost feels like WWE listened to us and fixed some of the things we had complaints about.
I will not lie to you. They might have listened. They might tune in. They might ask me for the link. I don't know. You never know.
Yeah, but of course, appreciate you guys for all tuning in. As always, send us your super chats if you want to join in on a conversation or shoot us a question about something, or send us a Humper Chat where we get more of the cut. That's humperchats.com/Fightful. But yeah, let's get into this episode. Go home episode before Bash in Berlin. Bash in Berlin will take place in Berlin, Germany tomorrow. I believe it's noon my time. It's 1 p.m. Eastern time. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, another early pay-per-view. Can't be mad at that. We got an early pay-per-view last weekend with All in London, and I enjoyed it. Being able to watch the full pay-per-view and then still being able to enjoy the rest of your day, I loved it.
I totally enjoy these pay-per-views that are being done over there. Last week we had the AEW one. Anything that could keep me busy throughout the afternoon and I don't have to be outside mowing the lawn or doing anything extra. And I can just sit around and watch freaking professional wrestling like we will tomorrow. I'm ecstatic for.
Yeah, I thought we got a pretty good episode of SmackDown for the go home episode. It was pretty eventful. We got two big title matches. We got a return. We got a lot to get into.
Yeah, let's go, baby.
So to open the show, we got LA Knight issuing his open challenge that he talked about from last week's episode. And, man, he got a pretty good pop. And I was like, man, this crowd is very much into LA Knight. And then Ludwig Kaiser came out and we saw what a real pop is because that guy a massive reaction.
Yo, like it was nuclear. Like, you know, yeah, we get here in the US, like we kind of like give love to our stars and people that we love, but geez, when he came out, I was not expecting that. I mean, I knew there was a level of hypeness there, but I was not expecting what we saw.
Yeah, he got a great reaction. That crowd, I couldn't tell what they were chanting in German, I suppose, but yeah, he got the sing-alongs, he got the chants. He came out and he cut his promo in German. And then he starts talking in his like elongated, I am very talking, I am Ludwig Kaiser voice. But it was great. I am one of those people that was skeptical about waiting so long to put the U.S. title on L.A. Knight, because I was like, man, don't miss this opportunity because this guy's hot. And he's remained really hot. Even with the Kaiser stuff to open the show, he still was very popular in front of that crowd.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. L.A. Knight has transcended his way into, like, you know, the megasphere, man. When it comes to, like, his likability, I don't know how this man's ever going to do it if he decides to go heel. I don't think there's a heel side of him ever. I think even if he was, people would still like adore him. He's just that good, man. And it's crazy because he's later in his career, later in his life, and he's on top of the world right now.
Yeah, I don't see him going back to the stuff he was doing on NXT where he was a heel. He did some stuff with Impact TNA where he's a heel too, but like right now, he's just so popular. I can't see it. One of the great things about this, Kaiser said that he was going to win the U.S. title and he was going to remake it into the European Championship, which I immediately thought was cool because I was like, man, we haven't seen a European title in so long. And so I immediately was like, man, what if he went? But I knew he wasn't going to.
I be honest, I'm that's interesting. And if something like that were to happen, it would be cool. We just saw that happen in AEW with the International Championship, where it was turned into the American Championship with MJF. So I think it would be so cool if they kind of like, hey, if it were to happen down the line, they were to just take it and say, this is what we're doing with it. It'll be fun. It'll be new because it's something that we haven't seen.
Yeah. But yeah, this was a great way to start. We opened with a pretty good match. Kaiser worked his way back in this match every time it looked like LA Knight was going to make a comeback. He was kind of smothering him, staying all over him. He did that drop kick onto the stairs that he does, and he's injured a few guys. I'm surprised that LA Knight got up and continued to wrestle through it. But yeah, I thought this was a strong opener, including the promos and this match.
Yeah, if you're going to start off a show, especially outside of the U.S. hot, why not put this guy on your TV? And you get your local, you know? So, you know, Ludwig got that major pop again. I didn't know if he was going to get it, but just seeing it afterwards is just insane, man. Just so cool.
Yeah, great to see Kaiser get that moment. I know coming into this, most people were expecting Gunther to be the guy that gets like these big reactions, but good to see Kaiser get this moment and get the title match. I figure when they announced the open challenge, they probably were going to go with somebody like this, and he looked great. This was a great match.
I agree. I'm with you.
Let's see. We have a super chat from Jess Ricardo. He says, hello, Phil, and hi, Alex. Hello, chat. See you tonight. I think that's what
all
this
right.
is.
Yeah. Appreciate What's up, you. Ricardo? How are you, man? We appreciate you and sending some love.
We got a Humper chat from Orion Ben. He says, this was a much better go-home episode than Raw. The best of seven is cooking. Los Garza needed that win. Ludwig and the women's street fight rocked. Give Mia her flowers. Yeah, I agree. I do think this was a much better episode than the Raw. But I feel like Raw has overall been the better show for a few weeks. This was the first time that I can say I thought SmackDown was the better show. And it was possibly because of the German crowd, but also I just feel like they just had more going on this episode with the title matches we got. It felt more eventful than Raw did.
Yeah, I agree. The just the fact that, you know, you got the show was, you know, done there, I think that hyped up the show a lot more. And I like that. I like that if you're going to be, you know, at a certain location, why not just book it for the Friday as well? You know,
yes,
it benefits them because they have enough time to like edit things out before it airs here in the U.S., you know, so just have it done. Taped and go for it. I enjoyed it. I mean, we should do that a lot more instead of like taping it here in the U.S., you know, doing a double night taping on for SmackDown.
Yeah, but yeah, strong episode so far. Let's see, we got another super chat. Van Twin Blaze says, No Bang Bang Gang tonight. Collarbone Combat Club.
Yeah, baby.
Is that like a reference? Am I missing it?
Oh, wait. Yeah. So obviously, Kate's bangs. So
gotcha. You know,
right. Yeah. So she's the Bang Bang crew. And collarbones, because I tend to kind of like show my collarbone a lot. And, you know, the crowd loves that. You know what I'm saying? I'm okay. Starting a only collarbones page. I can't even say that straight. That's how messed up that is.
Okay, cool. So, yeah, after this, we got the promo package for Gunther versus Randy Orton for the World Heavyweight Championship. I thought this was strong. I like what they're doing with this. It's still kind of, I don't want to say it's not a good basis for the match, but it's still kind of funny to me that this is all based on the fact that they got the finish of the King of the Ring match wrong. And so when they replayed the match and they show Orton's shoulder off again, I was like, his shoulder is so clearly up. I did not see this.
Yeah. You know, if mistakes happen, I tend to kind of like, when it comes to professional wrestling, people try to get a little bit, you know, too technical with it. But you're talking about, you know, people going in the ring, you know, high intensity on a live television show. Stuff like that is going to get through. But I do appreciate if you kind of use it to infuse a storyline, to infuse things further, you know, along and whatnot. So I like that sometimes they blur those lines where they're like, oh, my shoulder wasn't even completely down, you know. So I know we're going to get a blow-off match here between these two. You know, and I don't know what your prediction is for that, but I just don't see myself seeing Gunther ever losing it. I just want to throw it out there now earlier in the show. But
yeah, I thought this was a good video package. I thought it was a good way to hype the match. I do think Gunther is going to retain. It's way too soon for him to lose that belt. I can't see him losing it during the international tour either. I think this is all to set up Orton coming back to SmackDown and eventually challenging Cody in some way.
Yeah, I agree.
But yeah, I thought this was a good, not much to write home about, but I thought it served its purpose. See, after that, we got Los Garza taking on Baron Corbin and Apollo Crews. And this is kind of what I was talking about. Last time I was on with you and we reviewed that gauntlet match, and I believe they opened the gauntlet match, correct?
Yes.
Yes. And we both were sitting here confused, like, hey, why didn't Berto and Angel just win that match? Because they are the tag team. But this time around, I thought they wrestled a much better match all around. I even thought that Corbin and Apollo had better chemistry in this match. This was just all around a better match.
Yeah, for me, I enjoy seeing, you know, Baron Corbin back on my TV, like on a Friday or Monday, you know what I'm saying? Whatever. Right now he's on Fridays, but I'm enjoying seeing him back. I don't watch NXT religiously or anything like that. I kind of just, by the wayside, I'll watch it, but it's kind of fun to see this tag team that he's put together. I think it fits him really well. I think it's really cool, like, that they keep him with Apollo Crews for a while. Eventually, I feel like, man, Baron Corbin will always be like a heel to me. No matter how nice he is, I feel like he's going to turn on Apollo every time they're out there, dude. But yeah, and like you mentioned, it's nice to see Angel and Humberto out there as well, and getting some damn freaking victories. Because I tell this to Kate all the time. I'm big into representation. The Latin representation is, you know, that's where I come from. I'm Puerto Rican, born and raised. So for me, it's kind of like see these guys out there and win some matches, because they were doing some hot stuff with Legado for a while, and then it just kind of like cooled off.
Yeah,
you know, so it's kind of nice to see like the group kind of coming back and having some meaningful matches.
The story here is that Berto and Garza got their shit together. They are wrestling a better match.
I love you're so right.
and they picked up the win here, and they needed this win, desperately needed win. I loved as soon as they picked up the win, Santos and Elektra were already walking towards the ramp. They were already done with it. Like, yeah, we're out of here. Yeah, we already knew we were going to win. I thought that was hilarious.
I love, man, you know, I wasn't big into the Legado thing when they were in NXT. or even Escobar, you know, like I was listening in and kind of keeping an eye on him. Man, he's on another level. Like everything he does, from the vignettes to you know, him being ringside, you know, his psychology. I mean, I've been very lucky to become friends with him, you know, and kind of like see where he's at when it comes to professional wrestling. I mean, he's, like I mentioned before, he's just on another level, and I love it. I hope that they continue giving them something to hang their hat on, you know, and continue going. Because I feel like they could be an influential group, you know, instead of just like doing the same old thing where you kind of would throw them up against the LWO or whatever, you know, continue to let them cook, you know?
Yeah, I agree. They're a very talented group. I was a big fan of Garza when he was on NXT. I thought he had a great cruiserweight run. And straight away, I knew he had talent when he was coming out there and doing a bit where he ripped his pants off and he had the trunks under it.
Yes.
He just immediately stood out. He had great charisma, had a great look, and he wrestled really well. And Berto is kind of the same way, that I thought he had something going for him. It just needed the right thing. And I think they work very well as a tag team. So yeah. I hope they keep this going with them.
Yeah, they're clicking. I love it. I love the way you put that.
Let's see, we got one super chat here from Bad Robot, 2342. He says, "Hello, favorite post show. I always catch Grapsody late. Nice to see you live, Phil. The Andrade and Carmelo weekly show was amazing as always. Would you pick the two to who would you pick of the two to dethrone LA Knight?"
Wow, that's a good one.
Yeah, appreciate you for continue to support Grapsody. It is interesting every time someone's like, "Oh, I don't watch it live." So, you know, either I watch it on delay or I listen to the audio. So, but yeah, appreciate you. That's a tough question.
I actually wouldn't mind if, because Andrade had such a bad run there, unfortunately. Even it was the US title, right? He had the US title, yes, before he was let go. So yes. I think to see him kind of like carry that on, like I know Carmelo's really good, man, but I think that they're going to be loyal to Andrade first if they were to go in that direction, you know? I think the bigger match and the would be that. I mean, but is Andrade even a heel, or is he just middle ground as well? Like, he's great, because I know Carmelo's fully going heel, so yeah, I don't know. I think for me, it's Andrade, but you know, you always got to play that good guy versus bad guy card.
Yeah, that's the part that I was thinking. I think if you're going with like the stereotypical heel versus face dynamic, it makes more mm-hmm. sense for it to be Melo that beats him.
Yes,
because he had the heel. And honestly, I think Melo kind of needs to win more because he's had nothing going since they brought him to the main roster.
Yeah.
So I kind of think it probably should be Melo, but you can't go wrong either way. And I agree, their weekly matches has really been the highlight of SmackDown.
Yeah, if they are doing, did they announce that it's going to be, maybe I missed it, that it's going to be a best of seven, or are they just fighting to the death right now?
I think most of us are just assuming that's a best of seven, which we'll get into that in a few, but I think we're just mostly assuming because they've had four matches at this point.
Got it, yeah. I think this is going to go really well, man. The last time that I saw something this good was Sheamus and Claudio. I forget what they called him in WWE.
The Bar.
Oh, my goodness. The Bar, yes. But what was his name? Why am I drawing a blank now?
Oh, Cody Cesaro.
Cesaro, there we go. Yes, that was a great best of seven. They were even doing it in house shows, and they were reporting it that they had a match in a house show, which counted to the best of seven, which is really cool to see. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chad. Yes, Cesaro.
Damn it. Classic feud, great tag team. That was one of the things that I hated by the time he left, that they broke up the tag team because they were so great together.
Yeah, yeah. I hope that they do go the distance, though. It'll be cool.
Yeah. Da, da, da. See, we got the Solo Sikoa promo after this. He says that he's taken out his brother, Jimmy, the wise man, Paul Heyman, and Roman Reigns. So imagine what he would do to DIY and Street Profits. He's basically trying to intimidate them going into the championship match. And he's also laying the seeds that whoever wins the title match on Saturday, either Cody or Kevin Owens, he's going to challenge them next for the championship. And I was sitting there the whole time like, please don't. please just stay away from Cody. Just leave Cody alone.
Yeah, I don't. You know, that's another one. I mean, if I'm okay to say it, like picking a match there with Cody, I just don't see Cody losing it anytime soon until like a giant freaking PLE, you know, like a WrestleMania style. I don't want to say that Cody's run to me has been boring, because it hasn't. It has had some good meat on its bones. But outside of the Bloodline stuff, all the other matches have just felt like, okay, cool. Like, even this one with Kevin Owens to me is like, okay, cool. Like, let's see these two fight, you know? But other than that, I'm not like, oh, my God, I know Kevin's going to win it. It's just, God, I hate feeling like that, man. I want to go in, like, with an empty canvas.
I actually feel the opposite. I feel like everything he's done outside of Bloodline has been more interesting.
Yeah.
Because I feel like the Bloodline, in a lot of ways, there's nothing really more for him to do with them. He's beat them. He beat Roman. And you're not going to get this great match out of Solo Sikoa. That's not like he's a bad worker. But, yeah. I mean, for me at least, out of all of his title defenses, the Solo match is the worst match.
Yeah.
Oh, man. The AJ matches were both great. I didn't really care for the build to the LA Knight feud, but right. I thought the Logan Paul feud.
But
the Logan Paul match itself was good, and I think this Kevin Owens match is going to be good.
Yes, the matches I think are going to be great. I just feel like the story being built around it, or just the hype to be around. Like, I love the physical stuff that happens in the ring. I think, you know, like you said, AJ, Logan, like, you know, they've all been great. It's just like, okay, cool. But, like, you know, you're kind of expecting not to have anything happen, you know, or an interference or something happen that Cody's now like, damn it, you know? but, yeah, man, like,
Yeah.
Solo was the worst one. Now I'm going to have to go rewatch that.
Wasn't a big fan.
I'm going to have to rewatch it.
But that match wasn't really meant to be like this great match. It was meant to be kind of a placeholder to get to the Roman stuff.
Right. Yes. Because you knew what was happening at the end of that match. Sure. Yeah.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
Let's see. But yeah, we'll get into some more Cody stuff in a few. I thought a really good Cody and Kevin Owens segment. But before we get into that, I am going to hit you guys with a word from our sponsors.
I'm traveling a lot, and when you travel, you got to protect your data. You got to protect your privacy online. NordVPN.com/Fightful allows me to do that, allows me to browse safely and securely. When you go to an airport, when you go to an arena, a restaurant, a hotel, you're usually connecting to that unsecured Wi-Fi, which leaves you susceptible to having your data stolen, any number of things taken from your private connection or what should be your private connection. NordVPN.com/Fightful makes it a private connection with the fastest VPN in the world, a 30-day money-back guarantee, and a ton of other features in addition to that peace of mind that you get when you can browse safely and securely. And I'm talking all your devices. Surface Pro, laptop, desktop, PC, smart TV, router, phone, whatever you're taking with you, NordVPN.com/Fightful will add extra layers of security to your digital life. You can get a password manager, a file encryption tool. Be safe, be smart, NordVPN.com/Fightful.
I thought that this segment was very good. I think for the people that have been saying that they're issue with the Cody reign is that there hasn't been enough storytelling. I thought that this promo brought a lot. They did a lot in this segment to sell you on this match. If you weren't already sold, I feel like there was a lot here that made this match even more intriguing, other than the stuff with Kevin Owens of wondering, will he or will he not turn on Cody? And they sprinkled in some other interesting stuff. Straight away, I very much like the idea that Cody immediately felt guilty because Kevin Owens has been linked to Bloodline all of this time. I mean, for almost 4 years, over 4 years at this point. And I mean, he's been beaten down by them the most by out of anybody. So I love the idea that he feels guilty because he's throwing himself back in the line of fire sure. because he's Cody's friend and he's his ally. And so he looked around like, hey, what if I give him a title match? Because he's owed a title match. And I'm only in some ways doing this because I feel guilty. But then in the same breath, Kevin Owens is kind of like, I don't deserve this title match. And not just that, you asked for this. Careful what you asked for, because if I have to go to that place to beat you for this title, then I will.
Yeah, you know, I found it. At first, I was like, okay, I was trying to get into it, right? Because, you know, the first thing he drops is the bomb about the knee. Oh, yes. Why didn't you come and you know, go get down on one knee. And right there, I understood, this is what they're going with. You know, this is how they're going to get into tomorrow's match. This is going to be his weakness. This is what they're going to attack tomorrow. You know? So at first, I was the promo started off slow for me. I love the fact that they, you know, continue to bring in, you know, past instances and things like that to the storytelling with Cody. I'm glad they laid off of the dad stuff, because that to me just gets a little bit old and over the top all the freaking time. So I'm glad
he mentioned his dad at least once.
Once, yes. So most of the time it's kind of like, I loved your dad, and you know, he took me to get ice cream one day. Like I don't want to hear stories. I just, you know, I'll just cool. So they acknowledged him and they left it they left it be. So I'm willing to partake and to see how they're going to tell this story. Obviously, we know in our brains what we think the outcome is going to be, but I want to see. I know it's going to be a great match, because you're going to get a little bit of that heel Owens coming out tomorrow, and that's going to be great, you know?
Yeah, so this started with Nick Aldis coming out, and I don't know if it was me, but Nick Aldis looked huge. Like,
Nick Aldis be looking swole as hell.
Like, he looked like he was like about to like Hulk out of his suit.
He looked like Captain America in a suit coming out there, dude.
But yeah, he came out and he introduced the two competitors for the world title match. And he addressed the crowd. At one point, he addressed them in German. Very smooth. And the crowd popped very big for it.
Yeah. So I wonder if he has some German descent in him, because that was way too freaking smooth. Like, he was just like, he talks German at the dinner table on a regular basis.
Yeah, Jack talks Thai. Jack talks Thai is real good. Yeah. But yeah, he brought in Kevin Owens. He brought in Cody. Kevin said that he wanted to talk to him about what happened with his knee, like you said, because he made it seem like he was hiding it from him, and he immediately took offense to that, because he didn't want any cop outs if he beat him on Saturday, because his Universal title run, which I think is one of the great tragedies of his time with this company, that world title reign didn't go better, and that he hasn't had another one since. And I kind of always hated that they didn't just give him and Jericho that main event for the Universal title, so they should have. And they gave the title to Goldberg, and I understood why they did, but I just thought it was such a bad way to end the run that started on such a kind of confounding note for him, because it's forever going to be tied to this Triple H thing that we never got an explanation for.
Sure. Sure. You know, before I get to my thought, I want to say, give a shout out to Danny on the chat here, who was just doing her stream. She's all the way from freaking Israel. So I know it's super duper duper early over there, and they're hanging out on the chat. And so is Zombie as well, Zombie Fighter. So thank you guys for hanging out here on the chat with us today for the SmackDown post show.
Appreciate you.
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's funny, because Michael Cole also mentioned, he's like, we've seen what happens when Friends, as you remember with Kevin Owens and a certain Festival of Friends, you know, I was like, oh, I popped. I was like, he mentioned it. Like,
yeah,
you know,
they threw that in the montage last week. I thought the montage they played last week was very good.
Yeah.
But yeah, to keep going into this, Cody said that his knee was fine. He made the point that he wasn't hiding it. Cody instead started to talk about when Owens had handed him the title, it looked like he was going to hit him last week.
Yes.
And Owens says he knows Cody is hurt, and if Cody isn't 100%, his victory will be tainted. And so Cody gets mad at this confidence because he's just like, what do you mean when you beat me? And that raised some tension between them. And of course, that ended with Cody being Cody and being schmaltzy like he always does. And it's turned into, Kevin, I love you. You're my friend. And I just want to know after this, because I've done this before, and someone else, and I assume it's a mutual friend that he and Kevin Owens have, asked him the same question he's going to ask him. Are we going to still be friends after this match? Now, I was sitting there racking my brain after this, and I was like, who could this possibly be a reference to? It could potentially be a reference to the Kenny Omega match from 2018. It could be a reference to the match against the Young Bucks, where it was Cody and Dustin versus the Young Bucks in the first year of AEW. And I just couldn't figure it out. But it could have been a reference to multiple things. But I was wondering, if it was just a WWE wrestler, why wouldn't he just say the wrestler? It felt like one of those inside baseball things where it's a reference to a wrestler he can't say by name on TV.
And they've been doing that a lot lately, where they kind of throw little, like they've been allowed to kind of mention certain things, including the commentary table. They now mention things, you know, like outside of their own world, which I think is brilliant. I would beg to differ that sometimes I think the WWE crowd, if not most of the time, has no idea what's going on outside of the WWE. So sometimes when they do throw jabs like that, a lot of people are kind of left like, who is he talking about? Like, you know, there's, you know, they'll just start, like you just said, running down the roster. But you know, we'll see. We'll see. I wish they kind of just like mentioned it, but it was cool to kind of like speculate about what and who he's talking about.
What's so funny to me about this, and I made this reference on Grapsity as well, it's almost like Cody has created a newer, different version of the Codyverse with WWE. Because with AEW, he had his Codyverse where it seemed like all these things happened inside his bubble and they didn't affect anything else on the show. And it kind of feels like he does the same thing here, where he's able to reference all this New Japan stuff and all this other inside baseball stuff, even if it's stuff lore with his dad and everything. And if you get it, you get it. And so I think that's such a great extra layer to his title reign. Like, even just going by the AJ Styles stuff, I think the thing that made his AJ Styles feud so interesting is that AJ Styles is a guy that did all of the stuff that Cody did away from the company before he left in 2016. So in a lot of ways, AJ kind of laid this blueprint for what he needed to do to take over the indie scene when he went away. So of course, when he came back and he got to the top of the mountain and won the world title, that was the first match he should have got. That's also the guy that he never wrestled. I think Kevin Owens has some same connections with him. And he immediately mentioned that in his promo, that they have mutual friends. And I don't think you get the credit for the revolution that happened without you, because I was there instead of you. And I thought that was very interesting as well, because we did get the tease 3 years ago of Kevin Owens possibly signing over there and reuniting Mount Rushmore. And so all of those things that, if you know, you know, I think like they're great Easter eggs. But I do agree with you. If you're just a WWE fan and you're just sitting around like, what does this mean?
Yeah.
What is there to decrypt out of this? But I thought a lot of those things from this promo were very intriguing, and as well as the Kevin Owens stuff of, is he going to turn? Is he not going to turn? I thought him asking him, are we going to be still friends after this? And he didn't outright answer it. He just whispered something to him and walked away. And this could have gone either way. He could have told him, careful what you ask for. He could have told him, yeah, of course we are. We don't know. And that makes this match even more interesting.
The whispering always gets to me because you're in the middle of a ring with 15,000 fans around you. So and you're whispering and the mic is not picking anything up. And, you know, it leaves you thinking, like, what exactly are you telling him? And why can't the world know? You know, like, is he telling him to go F himself? You know, like, that's what, you know, or is he telling him, watch your back?
Hey, man,
or so many things, man.
He might be just telling him, his fly's open. I don't know.
That's true, too. He might just be, like, whispering him a joke to see if it'll make him crack in the middle of the ring and just walks away.
I don't know. But yeah, I thought the segment was great. I was very much hyped by the end of it. But that also comes with the fact that I am a big Kevin Owens guy. I was a big fan of Cody before he came back. I followed a lot of his New Japan and Ring of Honor stuff. And maybe if you didn't follow all those things, you might not get the appeal of it. I could totally understand that. But for me, I was all in. No pun intended.
All the pun intended. You should just tell him, let him know. You own it now.
But yeah, I thought this was great. Again, I thought this was a great way to add to this title match. I think over the past 2 or 3 weeks, they've gotten me more and more invested in this match. I'm excited. I don't think that Cody's going to lose, but I'm just excited to see what they do with their relationship coming out of this.
They've done a good job of doing that with Cody and the last minute like matches like this, where they kind of put them together and, you know, you have a few weeks build up, 2 to 3 week build up. They've done a good job of kind of like trying to put that story together on how they're going to, you know, why are they battling and what's happening here, you know? So and it's happened a couple times. It happened with AJ, like when AJ came back and I was like, why is AJ like going after the title? I don't understand. And for like 2 weeks, they kind of had to put that together. I'm okay with it. I want to see what's going to happen tomorrow in the ring. The talking for me was like, all right, cool. There was some back and forth going on there. The whole knee thing took me away because now you're telling me that tomorrow you're going to focus on his damn knee. I would have preferred tomorrow to hear from commentary with a little video package. Oh my God, he hurt his knee. And you know, Kevin knows something bad could happen. Instead, you already told me today, hey, I know you're hurt, and I know exactly where I'm going to hit you tomorrow.
Yes. But I think we all know, like, regardless, regardless what happens with Kevin Owens and Cody, this is leading to Randy coming back to SmackDown and getting his title match. And Randy is going to turn on him. They're being way too nice to him, to each other. all of this stuff where Cody is giving these emotional monologues about how much he means to him and how much he inspired him. This is leading to a turn. It's no way.
Yeah. I'm with you there. It'll be a great match to have. I believe is Survivor Series the last pay-per-view of the year? Because they're not doing December. They're done doing pay-per-views in December so that people spend time with their families.
It used to be TLC, they don't do TLC anymore. So I think it's going to go from Bad Blood to Survivor Series. And it might be a Saudi show in November, too. I just don't remember. I think there is.
November is the Saudi show.
Yes.
And then you got Survivor Series, the week after?
Yeah, it's
Thanksgiving?
Like, yeah,
or Thanksgiving weekend.
Yes, it's usually the same weekend or the weekend after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, then to me, I think this is where you might see that blow off, where if Randy does turn, you might see this happen. Now, this is a bigger build for me. This is something because you have time, right? If this is going to happen, you know, and then you just kind of like let them cook and kind of see where they go with it. I would like it to be in Survivor Series, so yeah.
Yeah, I think in terms of what we know about Cody and how much he is like beholden to Southern wrestling and how big of a deal it is that he's bringing wrestling back to Atlanta, I'd have to assume that the Orton match is probably going to happen there.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, shoot. Yeah.
But I could be wrong. I don't know what they're doing at Bad Blood, but that is a month away. I have to assume the Orton feud has to be the next big thing up, unless we're getting another solo match, which I don't want.
I mean, oh man, you're right. You're probably making a lot of sense here because it is Bad Blood. So what a perfect pay-per-view for them to fight in, because they've had Bad Blood since when they were together back in the day. You know, like they've had this history. Yeah, I like that. I think you're right. I think it would be something along the lines of a Bad Blood. And now that I think about it, I think you probably have something happen at Survivor Series that might be bigger. Maybe a Roman. I don't know. But yeah.
Yeah. I have to assume they're going to do this Bloodline War Games match. That's my guess for the...
Yes.
Survivor Series. But the chat is telling us Crown Jewel is on November 2nd.
Yeah.
And Bad Blood is October 4th, I believe. And then Survivor Series is at the end of November.
Wow. That's
this year is quickly coming to an end. Crazy.
Jeez. Huh. Yeah, never mind. Yeah, because you got the Bloodline. If you do the War Games, yeah, that automatically removes Roman Reigns from anything in the title picture. Huh.
Yeah.
Wow. This leaves I was talking about having blank canvases for certain things. And I think this is actually like leaving that blank canvas for what it could be, what could be happening for Cody in the next couple months.
Yeah. But yeah, strong segment. Very much looking forward to this. Right after that, we got a 8 Town Down segment with Corbin and Apollo Crews coming backstage, deflated after their loss to Legado del Fantasma. Waller, for some reason, started needling them, and Theory was not feeling this at all. It looked like he was trying to do what he's been doing over the past week, where he talks a good game and then Theory ends up getting beat up because of it. So Theory tells them what's he thinking doing this. That team's not falling apart. We are. And then Waller immediately apologized and Theory accepts his apology. I don't know how I feel about them trying to make Austin Theory a babyface. I don't know if it works for me. I just think he's much better as a heel. I just don't know, man. Like, it can work, but I think the only saving grace in it is that Grayson Waller is such a good heel that if he has anybody to play off, that's an immediate positive coming out of this.
Yeah. Huh. I don't know. I think we spoke about this before. I think I let you know how I feel about these two. I know I tell Kate all the time that they need to separate them. And I know that the more charismatic person there is Waller,
yeah.
While Theory is more of the brawler, and I don't think he holds himself on his own when he talks on the mic. I think Waller's been doing that for the tag team. I think what we're going to see probably, hell, it might even happen at Bad Blood, is see them go against each other, and I would assume that I think you would want to push Waller. Unfortunately, Theory for me, his from the Golden Egg era to the week U.S. title run, it's just,
don't forget Money in the Bank.
Oh yeah, yeah. I don't think it's, I don't know, man. He's just been
he's in a lot of ways WWE Sammy Guevara, in the sense that he continues to get all of these chances. They just keep giving him all these reinventions, hoping something will stick. And it just still hasn't happened for him yet. I think that they work very well as a tag team. But it's just immediately obvious to me that Waller has the brighter future once they separate.
Yeah, you're right. Damn. And, they also said that Cena destroyed him on the mic as well. He's never recovered.
That's what I'm saying. He got a Cena match at WrestleMania.
Dukes.
He got a Cena match at WrestleMania. He got a Money in the Bank reign. He got a U.S. title reign. He went back and forth to NXT to keep workshopping him. This guy has gotten chance after chance after chance.
He's not clicking for me, unfortunately. I do see Waller kind of being the bigger name there.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I don't think that he's bad. I just think character-wise, he hasn't landed on anything that's really worked for me. I like these two guys together, but if you ask me to pick, I'm going to say Waller every time. I think Waller's the better guy.
I agree, man.
I think I missed a super chat that just popped up on the screen. Ah, there we go. Guy from Emily B. She says, great insights tonight. Thank you both for all that you do. Appreciate that.
Thank you, Emily. Appreciate you.
Let's see. Appreciate you guys as always. Be sure to send your super chats and your Humper Chats in humperchats.com/Fightful. We got another Giovanni Vinci segment. And every time I just cannot. I just cannot see it without thinking, this is Pitbull. Like, wait.
Yo! Yes!
This is Pitbull. Like, what is this?
Yes. Mr. 305 in Italy. I don't know what their area code would be, like plus 11 or whatever, but yeah. Sorry, I don't even. I was messed up. I don't want to mess up anyone's area code, but especially an Italian area code, but yeah. He's just with the tight shirt. Yeah, he's definitely pitbulling it up. The glasses.
Well, with the nice car, he stands out there and he poses. Like, it looks like a Pitbull video every time they show these vignettes.
He should just be like, I know you want me. No, I want you. Like, just do something fun. But they're going to try to make him into a serious character. As much as we're kind of just like saying this, I think they're going to try to make him
into
a serious character. Until I see what he's a great wrestler, but until I see like how this is gonna play out, I just hope it doesn't like turn into like him turning into like an Austin Theory.
Yeah, I know. But he's such a good wrestler, man.
And so is Theory. Don't get me wrong, I like Theory in the ring.
I was a big fan of Vinci when he was on 205 Live when he was still Fabian Aichner,
Mr. 205.
Yeah, he was great on that. Even when he made the move to NXT, I was like, this guy is very good. Like, just give him something that clicks. It's messed up that the stuff with Imperium didn't work out because I thought that they were a great tag team. Yeah. But hopefully this clicks for him. Hopefully he finds his lane on SmackDown.
Yeah, same.
I'm going to hit you guys with one last word from our sponsors. Then we're going to get into the rest of the show. We got the women's title match to end the show, and we've got this week's edition of Andrade and Carmelo's Peter Griffin and chicken fight. But yeah, we will get into that in a sec. Before we do that, I am going to hit you with a word from Manscaped.
Manscaped.com and the code Fightful. They have a monopoly on the bathroom. Let's be real, when they start selling wipes, it's over for everybody. What don't they have at Manscaped? It starts off, you know, with your body parts, your balls and your butt, but it's a lot more than that. They got everything in the bathroom, from the shower with body wash and shampoo and body buffers, to the beard. They have a phenomenal beard trimmer. They have beard combs, beard oil, beard conditioner, all that good stuff. And for your nether regions as well. They have a variety of packages that you can try out. From ones that go from the bathroom to your body to your hair. It doesn't really matter. They've got you covered. They've got a little something for everybody. If you're on the go, they have the go bag as well. They've got travel options. Manscaped.com and the code Fightful. You're always going to find a great deal when you use that code at Manscaped.
Appreciate you guys for hanging with us. I just saw in our chat, I guess there's a Deeb and Sheeta match that's coming together tomorrow night. There's a lot of wrestling this weekend.
Jeez.
We got a TNA show tonight along with SmackDown. We got a New Japan show tonight. That's where Kate is, I believe. Then we've got the WWE pay-per-view tomorrow. And we have NXT No Mercy on Sunday.
Jeez.
Labor Day weekend. The funny thing about all of this is supposed to be All Out weekend, but All Out has been moved to next week.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of wrestling for the rest of the year, people. Get ready. Strap on.
Yeah, there is no shortage of wrestling, guys. You will find something to fit your preference. Like, there is something out there for you, no matter what. Yeah, we got the latest edition of Carmelo Hayes versus Andrade. Again, this has really been a highlight of SmackDown since these guys started going back and forth. This match was no different. Very, very good match. I was wondering how they were going to keep this interesting because Andrade jumped out to that lead and won two matches back to back. But this match was very competitive. I like the use of the turnbuckle. Really, really fun match.
Yeah, you know, these two guys are continuing to kind of like show off and kind of show us what happens when the chains are taken off, you know, and you're kind of able to tell a story in the ring. You know, it's cool to kind of let them, you know, to let them kind of like have their segments separately. They've had that one instance where like he showed up and they kind of like had a face to face. But mm-hmm. I really, really do enjoy the fact that they're just letting them wrestle. And by letting them wrestle, they're telling us a great story. And, you know, having if from what I'm seeing from what you're telling me and people are saying in the chat, a best of seven, I'm here for it. Why not? What else are they doing? You might as well just utilize these two. Yeah.
They don't have anything else going. You might as well just do a feud with these guys based on who's the better wrestler. And sometimes that just works. When you have two guys that are as good as these guys, Andrade is an incredible wrestler. Carmelo is also very, very talented.
Very talented, and yeah.
These matches have been super heat. I've loved it. It's weird because I want to say other things about it other than it was really good. But, I mean, it was just good wrestling. Andrade picked up the loss again. Carmelo used the exposed turnbuckle to get the win. I assume that that's going to be the way to get Andrade to ask for the next match because he didn't lose clean here. But hey, if they want to keep this feud going, give me as many matches as you'll give me.
Yeah, as long as maybe the final match will have some type of stipulation where, like you know, we mentioned earlier today, it leads to a title match of some sorts, you know, somewhere down the line for either or. I think it's a great way to kind of like put a button on that, you know, and it gives us a reason to really, really, you know, we're already gonna watch it, but kind of like really pay attention to the whole meaning of these matches that they're having.
Yeah. I'd have to assume that has to be the end result of this feud. One of these guys is going to make the move up to be LA Knight's challenger. I would guess.
Yeah.
Everybody started about this four-way in the chat, and it's funny. I'm like, this sounds dope, though.
Which one? Hold on. Let me look at it.
Yeah. Apparently, there's a fatal four-way for scheduled for tomorrow to be Serena Deeb versus Hikaru Shida, yes. Thunder Rosa, and Queen Amanada. That sounds like it's going to be very, very good.
That sounds like they're letting the women cook, as the kids like to say today.
Well-deserved. I think that's been one of the highlights of AEW's programming.
Sure, yeah.
Pretty straightforward match. Another banger from these two. Right after that, we got the Jay Cargill and Bianca segment where they kind of did the flashback to Clash at the Castle. It showed them watching the footage of them their loss from Clash at the Castle. And they're continuing to tease the stuff for the tag match. I'm very excited that they actually put the women's tag match on the pay-per-view. I'm still on the fence on how I feel about these smaller cards, like the five-match cards, but I think it's good because you are getting a more concise show. Sure. But a lot of times I feel like the women get shortchanged when they do this. So again, I'm very excited that the women are getting this spot, especially in front of an international crowd. And I think that match will be good based off of their first match.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned that about the smaller cards. There was a big shift and you know, nothing I'm about to say is in a negative way, but there was a big shift when the network came out with that whole $9.99 thing. And then obviously that, you know, went into the whole Peacock deal and blah, blah, blah. But it, you know, the whole feeling of these PLEs, pay-per-views for WWE, at least for me, they feel less like what a big show would feel like just because, you know, we're not paying the $55 anymore. That's number one, which is a great thing, right? But because we had to pay those $55, you had to work hard to get people's attention and put these amazing matches and bigger cards on a pay-per-view, right? It doesn't have to be 10 matches. It doesn't have to be 12, you know, whatever, 9. But, you know, 5, 6, 7 matches are, I think, are pretty good. You know, they all don't have to be 18-minute long matches either. But, you know, I think with the new way that the world is, where everything has to be quick and whatever, and plus the fact that now, you know, we're paying whatever Peacock is, $8, $7, $5, we've kind of watered down the pay-per-views to just being like, you know, a bigger Raw, a bigger SmackDown, unfortunately. But that goes with everything. I know AEW will eventually, once they get their streaming deal, it'll feel the same way too. You know, yeah. They're going to have to, like, you know, whatever, make the cards shorter. But but I do hope that the show tomorrow, even though we have a few matches, feels strong, even with the women. I want the women. I tell this to you guys all the time on the chat. I love me some women matches. I love me some Nia Jax beating the shit out of everyone. You know, like I the tag team division for the women, I want them to like flourish. Like, I want to see fighting.
Yeah.
You know, especially from the women. They deserve to be on the card and they deserve to have all the time in the world. But we'll see.
Yeah, I kind of wish they would just settle on like a standard, like 7 matches for the shows. It seemed like they settled into 7 matches for like the bigger shows like SummerSlam and WrestleMania. But I don't see any reason for something like Bash in Berlin, where you've told us multiple times on this episode of SmackDown that you haven't been to Berlin in 27 years.
I know.
And you go there, you give them 5 matches. You get them a good 7 matches. It's cool.
I know. It's, you know, it's funny that you say that, because they always find, you know, it's always something historic. It's always something like, oh my God, we haven't been here since the you know, wall fell down and Bret Hart saved America, whatever was happening back then, which was a really nice package that they played last week, narrated by Natty. But, you know, I guess maybe they felt that by having the SmackDown there, then having they're doing this now in all the shows where they kind of like have like the public opening of the show and they have the wrestlers come in. I think they feel like maybe that's just enough. Plus, remember, at the end of the day, they're a publicly traded business. They're here to make money.
Yeah.
They're here to, you know, I think Danny said it earlier in her stream, is like, you know, they're here to collect the money from the tickets, which are expensive. They're here to collect money from the merch, which is expensive, you know? So at the end of the day, here's your five match card, and let them have fun.
Yeah. Hey man. And they're doing great business. So
they are 100% doing great business. Oh. And then by nothing that I'm saying is shade, they are doing it, and they're doing it very well. What is it, 39 sellouts now on television, 39 weeks in a row? So,
yeah, hot crowds at their shows. They're selling out, selling a bunch of merch. They're killing it right now. So,
sure,
can't complain about too much. A-Shock called us APA Alex Phil Alex.
Oh, yes, let's go. What a great team, man. I do want to say on the chat, I see you guys putting it out there. I totally forgot to mention it on the top of the show. I want everyone right now in the chat to touch tips, if you can, please.
What? Whoa.
Bill, welcome to Friday nights. Whoa. I don't know if you're down with touching tips, but here at on Friday nights, we love touching tips.
Oh. All right. See, we got one super chat here from Tom LaValle. He says, hi, Alex and Phil. Welcome to Friday SGS Raid. Appreciate you.
Let's go. Thank you.
I think that is our last super chat. Last call for super chats and humper chats before we get into this main event, which was very good. I had no doubts that it was probably going to deliver, but I thought it was very good.
You got a couple. Yeah, you just got another super chat coming in.
Woohoo! We got a very generous super chat from Tim McFall. He said, Phil, welcome to Friday Nights. Hopefully you don't catch any strays for reasonable takes like on X. Weird-ass behavior to complain about Black and Latin men getting a well-deserved bag. As for SmackDown, Melo and Andrade and Mia and Nia humped. Absolutely. Yeah.
What are you getting shit for freaking talking about dudes getting bags? Like, come on, man. Like,
now people were mad because I wasn't a big fan of that whole Jack thing from Wednesday, and I was like, this is a choice.
Oh, got it. Okay. Got it.
Yeah. I am exhausted, guys. I was just telling Alex before we got on here, I have gotten like no sleep. I've been.
Yeah,
like,
my man has not slept.
I've been going for like a good, I don't know, 30 hours or so.
I've been hitting him with the touching of the tips. He's not happy with it right now.
But yeah, man, appreciate you guys coming through. Appreciate your super chats. Let's get into this main event.
Let's go.
This was a very strong main event. We main evented with the WWE Women's Championship. Nia Jax defended her belt against Mee Chin in a street match. This was great. I love the way they built it up. I love the backstage stuff going into this. I'm glad that Mia got this opportunity because I think she's been deserving for a long time. Especially because she's been back. She's been one of those that Triple H made the point of bringing back when he took over creative. And I was just wondering, like, when are you going to do something big with her? When are you going to utilize her? And this just seems like such a good feud for her on TV to give her something to do. And I think she's been great here. I thought the segment where she jumped Nia during her celebration was good. And this was kind of more of the same with the Kendo stick. I thought we got some great spots in this, but very entertaining match.
I enjoy this curtain run that Nia's in. When I look at stuff that had happened just like even 3 years ago, just getting into that fist fight with Charlotte in the middle of the ring or whatever that was, you know, like you look at her reign, you look at, you know, for whatever reason she got let go, coming back, you know, this is my favorite run of Nia's. I'm a big fan of hers. I love women that look like they can beat the crap out of anyone. So she's definitely up there for me. I feel like she is commanding the role and mm-hmm. and being and the way that she talks and walks and looks down at Tiffy and like kind of watches her back all the time, like don't be a dick. I think you might want to cash in on me or something like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, she's really playing this role perfectly. The way this whole match played out with Tiffany coming out, I was just like, what is happening? They did really good. I think they did really well. I think as they continue to do these run-ins with Tiffy, is great because it just leaves you freaking hanging. When is she actually going to do this? And is Nia going to be, like, how badly injured or beat down does Nia need to be? Because she's such a force right now that you would see Tiffy finally getting that victory over her, you know? Like, I'm so intrigued over this, and I'm a big fan of everything that the women are doing right now to get themselves over and how well they've been put on television. I just wish they had more time to tell a lot of their stories and a lot more time to kind of like see what they can do together, because you know, politics, I guess, or something. Yeah. I'm not going to say anything, but yeah.
I thought that this was, I'm glad that this got the main event spot. They got a good amount of time to tell a story. And this was a very eventful match. Not only that we got a good match with these two opponents, I thought this made Mia look great. I thought Nia continues to look good as champion. She continues to look dominant.
Sure. Yeah.
But even reintroducing Tiffany in, having Tiffany come down with the briefcase, I almost bit. I was like, is she really going to cash
yes,
in?
Because I know, yeah.
Because it looks like Nia was dead in the ring. She was not moving. So as soon as she gets in the ring and she's trying to get the ref to come over to give her the case, and Nia turns over and kind of does the Rasputia. How you doing? I'm still here. What are you doing?
Yeah,
what are you doing with the briefcase?
I also like the fact that that Nia's aware. Like, she's not. It's the days of having a dumb wrestler inside, kind of like, oh, wait, what are you? No, no, no. She's fully aware that you're coming in here to try to take something from me, you know? And also, I don't want to take anything away from Mia, Michin. She's had a resurgence in her wrestling career as well. A lot of TV time in front of people's faces. Badass herself, you know, like this match with Nia was great. I hope that they continue utilizing her and kind of like see where we can go with her. Even if they, I know they always say that they're going to introduce a mid-card title for the women. She'd be all over that. I mean, she's so good, man. But yeah, kudos to all the women that are putting these stories together there for today's show. Also, I stayed away from all the like the spoilers for the day. Mm-hmm. Except for I was watching a stream earlier and then I heard what was happening, so I kind of had to like mute it, but yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see any of the spoilers because I was podcasting earlier this morning and then I went out and came back, so I didn't see anything. I wasn't online to see any of it. But yeah, the failed cash-in happened, and then Tiffany immediately got back to business, stood up right and was like, no, I'm here to help you. See, I'm dragging her onto you. Like, here, pin her. And so she dragged Mia Yim over, got the near fall. Then she tried to maneuver again, still didn't get the pinfall. And then we got the return of Bayley. I was very excited to see Bayley. Yeah. Got a great reaction from the Berlin crowd. I thought that was a good surprise because I didn't even think about Bayley coming back tonight. But yeah, very excited to see her. I'm assuming this is leading to a rematch for the women's title against Nia. And you still have Tiffany in the mix. Maybe that will be the Bad Blood feud. I don't know. But I'm intrigued regardless. But Nia did pick up the win. She hit that, the dominant. What is the name of her finish? Dominator?
I'll tell you right now.
Sorry, I've been awake for a long time, so I'm just my brain is like it starts with a D.
It has to be the I know I have it as the Banzai Drop. I'm sorry,
but yeah, it's a Banzai Drop.
I know she names it. They all have their own names for everything. So, not the Eradicator.
I said it started.
Is that why did I think an Eradicator for? Annihilator.
Annihilator is a much better idea. Like, she should absolutely use that.
It is the Annihilator. I think people are putting that. Annihilator.
Yeah, where did Eradicator come from? That's, Annihilator.
Damn it, Tim. Tim made up a good point, too. I love my women that can kick ass. I love my women that can kick my ass. I'm a big Jade Cargill fan. She can choke me out anytime she wants. Like, I'm just a huge fan of these women that are just larger than life and could just do it all. Okay.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm putting it out there.
Yeah. Annihilator is a great name. I could not come up with that name for nothing.
I would never. Yeah.
My brain is like sizzling.
I feel so bad for it. We've been messing with on a Friday night here. He's tired as hell. We're touching tips all over the chat. I mean, it's just. We're showing clavicles. He has no idea what the hell's happening. He's never gonna come back. He's gonna text Kate and be like, I'm never working with Alex again.
But yeah, Nia lands her Banzai Drop, which is called the Annihilator, picks up the win over Mia Yim. Tiffany lives to fight another day with her briefcase, and Bayley is back, and that is the way we end SmackDown. Again, very strong episode, great go home episode. Even if I don't feel like this, some of this stuff is building to actual pay-per-view itself, this definitely made me want to watch SmackDown next week. We're moving soon. SmackDown will be moving to USA on September 13th. Yep. That's right around the corner. I keep forgetting that that's happening.
Friday the 13th, September Friday the 13th is going to be our first.
Creepy hours.
Episode of it. Real quick, Phil, do you think that we are going to have, I know that because we're on free television, I'm not a numbers guy. I hate reading. I hate people because it's such an old thing.
I'm not a ratings guy.
Okay. So do you think that by moving to cable, they might see a little bit of a shift, in viewership there?
I don't know. That's a good question because, of course, Raw.
Like, I don't still have cable.
Yeah, I basically stream everything.
Yeah, same.
So Raw still does good numbers. So I don't know. That's a good question, man. Like,
because they're in the high twos. They're in, like, you know, they get really great numbers for SmackDown. They're doing way better numbers than Raw. So I have to assume, and it's because it's on free television. But you know, I don't talk quarter numbers. I just think about, like, how the dynamic for the business will change. I love thinking business wise as well. But yeah, I just wanted to throw that out there and see what your quick thought was that on that. Especially, I know, starting in January, we're moving to Netflix. Raw is,
yeah,
you know, so you'll be able to catch Raw on Netflix in the US, Latin America, the UK, those, and Canada. Those are all the places that you'll be able to watch Raw on Netflix. Outside of that, they have, I guess, affiliates and other ways to watch it in any other place outside of those four places that I just mentioned.
Yeah. Yeah, Heather. Heather says, "Wait, are you still doing Grab City tomorrow morning?" I am not. We did it today at noon instead of tomorrow because we didn't want to conflict with the pay per view. So yeah, if you missed it, there is an episode of Grab City on the YouTube channel for you to watch on delay. We made sure to knock that one out for you. It's also part of the reason why I'm exhausted.
Yeah, man.
But yeah, this was a lot of fun. Great episode of SmackDown. Appreciate you guys coming through, sending us your super chats, your humper chats.
Hell yeah.
This was a fun one again, Alex. Hopefully we'll pop through again.
Oh yeah, man, I would love to.
Yeah, I'm probably going to throw the Malice in the Palace documentary I've been watching in between wrestling on Netflix, which is very good. I just haven't been able to finish it because something keeps coming up and I'm like, oh, well, I'll come back and finish it later. So I'm probably going to cut it on now and then fall asleep on it.
Are you going to watch the Vince McMahon thing when it comes out in the next couple of weeks?
I have no real interest in it, man.
Good stuff. Same.
I don't know. I have no real interest.
I know enough. Let's just leave it at that.
Yeah, I think I've had enough. I'm good. But yeah, no shortage of other things for you to watch on Netflix if you don't want to tune in and watch a creep.
I love that. And that's the way Friday night SmackDown post show is going to end. Watching the creep. Let's go.
But yeah, again, appreciate you guys. This has been SmackDown post show. I'm Phil. This is Alex. We will catch you some other time.
This summer, discover American Giant's timeless, high-quality clothing made right here in the USA. Every piece is designed for quality and style that's built to last. From vintage-style tees to tough tank tops, breathable polos to lightweight sweatshirts, you can find your perfect fit. Celebrate American craftsmanship and support local communities with every stitch. Go to American-Giant.com and use promo code STAPLE20 for 20% off your first order.
Moreno is a MAGA mistake for black families. If Moreno is elected senator, he'll push to eliminate diversity, equality, and inclusion programs as part of the racist MAGA Republican Project 2025. We've come too far to let extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. MAGA Moreno is a mega mistake for Ohio. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.